Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's that time again, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'd be the No Chaser. I am your co-host, JT. Jerry Taylor is my name. Coming from Jersey. I'm looking for my host. Hoping he would be here. I'm not sure where he's at, but we can go on without him if he's not around. So the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. If you'd like to call in and converse with me, I'm here, and this is the place to be. You know, and there's one thing I wanted to talk about. I heard on the radio, which was pretty crazy. I used to be a Jet fan, and there's been talk about the Jets all this time. Right after the Super Bowl, all through the summer, all through the season, a lot of wacky things been going on. Well, I've heard one of the wackiest things about the Jets and their head coach. And I don't know if anybody has heard this, but I have. And it came out in the Daily News that a vacationing Rex Ryan was spotted and photographed yesterday sporting a tattoo of a woman who appears to be his wife, wearing only a green jersey with Mark Sanchez number 6 on it, and posing in a way many would say resembles a crouching Tim Tebow. Now, tell me something. He was shirtless, some bathing poolside at a place where he's vacationing, which is in the Bahamas, and he quickly left the scene with his wife after being approached by a reporter. Supposedly, he cursed the reporter and stormed away, but not before the image had been captured. Now, tell me something. Is this another trick or publicity stunt by Rex Ryan? Or is he that kinky to have another man's jersey on his wife tattooed on his arm of his quarterback? I don't understand. That makes no sense to me. Like I said, the number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. I don't know what to say. I'm completely flabbergasted about this. And understand what I'm saying. Rex Ryan had a tattoo of his wife with a jersey on his wife. Only thing she was wearing was a jersey with Mark Sanchez's number 6 on it. Now, can somebody please clarify what I just said. I'm looking at the jersey. I'm looking at the tattoo that the picture they took. I'm looking at it as I'm speaking to you right now. And believe me, that's crazy. It looks like a picture of his wife. Looks like a picture of his wife sporting a tattoo with Mark Sanchez number 6 on it. Understand something. Sanchez is not married. Sanchez has never been married. Rex Ryan is married, and that is a tattoo of his wife, Rex Ryan's wife. I don't know what to say. I mean, the hits just keep on coming with this team. Just keep on coming. It just gets crazier and crazier. And I'm glad I'm a former fan because I can't take the madness anymore. It makes no sense. And I'm calling the Jet fans out. I'm calling the Jet fans out. How can you put up with this kind of garbage? How can you deal with this kind of garbage? It never stops. It was all right when doing harebrained and crazy things when the team was winning and they were going to the AFC championships. But last year they're 8-8, and they were semi a joke. This year they're a huge circus. Pictures of guys in different players or the coach in circus outfits on the front page of the Daily News or the New York Post. Come on. And it wasn't just once. It's been a few times in this past season. And it's nonstop. When is this circus going to get finished? When is the tent finally going to close on this franchise's way of trying to grab the headlines? Makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And I think I found my wayward host. What's up there, Mac?
What's up, brother?
How you doing?
I'm good. I sincerely apologize about being late. I just got in the door and...
Mac, I understand.
But
let me
anyway,
tell you something.
That's going to stop being. That's going to stop happening, though, because I'm kind of getting kind of irritated with the whole thing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start blowing people off and blowing stuff off. I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing it. I got to do my show. That's it.
Understand
anyway.
Something, man. Understand
what?
Something, Mac.
What?
With less than a minute, I jumped on.
I know.
I just walked in the door myself. I'm sitting in front of my dinner because I haven't had a chance to get it because I just walked and literally walked in the door with
wow.
Less than a minute before the show started.
Jeez.
So I understand, and I know the feeling.
All right. Well, it is a new year. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, my man.
And I just want to start off the show by recognizing a guy who died this week, this last week. Very gifted athlete, basketball player, and an even better person, Jamar Board, silent assassin to those who go down to the Goodman and, you know, watch the action all summer. Anybody who does that on a regular basis knows who he is and the talent that he had. And last Saturday, he died. And tragically, shot. And his funeral is tomorrow. We had a vigil. We had a vigil 6:30 last. I think it was Tuesday on New Year's Day evening.
Right.
I just want to dedicate this show to him. I'm not going to spend the whole show on it, I mean, like that, but I just want to recognize him, and it won't be the same without him at the Goodman. We definitely lost a great guy, a true talent, was known in the NBA as well as college ranks. Kevin Durant put his name on his shoes.
Yep.
One night when he went to play, and Silent Assassin was a very talented guy. Scored 70 points in a game down at the Coalition last summer. I think it was either it wasn't last summer. It was the summer before last. He scored 70 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
On the regular, scored 30 points a game. Just could shoot it, handle it, could do everything. Was a guy who was a workout addict. Always up at the crack of dawn in the gym, working on his game every day. That's what he lived for. That's what he did. And I just want to, salute him as he goes off. I know he's in a better place. And he was a true D.C. legend in the basketball circles and in this area. So with that said, rest in peace, Silent. I will definitely miss you. As you can see, I have been putting together a list of our guests.
Yeah.
For the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're going to start it off with one of the hottest clothing lines around that's coming out, and I have a relative that's involved in it. It's called Straight to the League.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Shaq, Baby Shaq, and a lot of athletes and stuff that I know are wearing it. They like it. And I'm going to have the CEO and the president of marketing on the show on next week.
Okay.
The week after, we will have the professor back on to talk hoops, to talk NBA and what he's up to. The week after, we will have my man Matthew Horn, who wrote books, and he's a self-publisher. He self-publishes, and he has a book out called, I think it says Choices. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I just walked in the door, but it's about black men. It's a book for black men about making choices and about lifestyle. So we're going to have a talk with him. And then I'm going to have some ladies next month. I don't know if you know who this lady is, but one of them has been a friend of mine for a long time. I don't talk to her all the time, but she's a real good friend of mine, and her name is Sylvia Crawley. Sylvia Crawley played at the University of North Carolina on the women's team there, actually just got through, stepped down as Boston College women's basketball head coach.
Really?
She will be here in February, and Janae Hayes will also be with us also. Janae Hayes played for Duke. And played for them for 4 years, and we're going to catch up with her. And, both of these women, I'm going to interview them, but what I want to do is get, things about basketball and that world and the women's game from a female's perspective.
Sure.
Not just from a guy's perspective. So those are two of my guests. I have another one of the guys. I have him coming in, and I'm putting that together now, so I'm not going to really say who that is. It's not somebody famous, but it's just somebody local. But one of the decisions I made at the end of the year, and I kind of told you that I was going to start putting more guests on the show and doing more
sure.
with it, because last year I was getting my feet wet and getting to know everything, but I just felt like the best way to use this show in my best interest, as long as I'm going to do it, is to use it to promote not only just those who are known or famous people, but those in our community or in the area who are doing things or trying to do things, doing business but just ain't exposed, and give them a voice and a chance to talk about themselves, what they're doing, or whatever they want. And I think it'll bring more to the show, and I also think we'll draw more listeners, because it's not, one of the things last year is I want more listeners, and the only way I'm going to develop that is to put the people on who have followings, and those people come in, and then hopefully they'll come back to the show and listen to other guests and other people. My big catch this year, and I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, I don't know if I'll get it, God willing I will, but I know for a fact, and I'm probably saying this at the first time, nobody knows this unless you know me, but I am going back to Las Vegas in March. So that means I am going back to the Mayweather gym. So that's my big catch. That's my catch I ultimately want to get, is to get Mr. Mayweather to be on this show. That would be a major accomplishment to me, and I think that would be something I could hang my hat on.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm going to try to do that. I don't know how successful I'll be, because it's funny, people talk to me, and they always think, because I have a whole bunch of pictures, and I win, they're like, you know Mayweather's people, right? And I'm like, no, I don't know Mayweather's people. I said, he don't know me by name. He'll probably recognize my face. But, you know, Andre Durrell, I do know and knows you by face and name, and that's who got me in the door. But at the same time, a nice guy, and did invite me back for training camp. I don't know if he'll currently be in training camp, probably, because he fights again, I think, May 4th. And he has an opponent yet to be announced. But I know that I'll be there in March, and I'm going to do everything I can to I'm going to go visit like I do, but I'm going to also try to this time to get him to commit to coming on to the show, and hopefully I can be successful doing that.
Okay.
So I have a lot of plans for the year, for the show, and just making it more interesting, making it something every week. I do have some other guests and other people that I'm trying to line up, and I'm setting goals to get them. So we'll see how that all goes. One of the things I do want to talk about is this, this game, these games on Saturday, and it's going to be pretty interesting starting tomorrow. We have two games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't start till 4:30.
Your right.
Cincinnati,
exactly.
Your Houston Texans play the Cincinnati Bengals. And which is an interesting matchup. I'm really intrigued to see that. I think you guys will win. I know a lot of the experts say, I'm not really sure, because of the way you guys finished the season. But I tend to say, I tend to find that towards the end of the season, people get kind of disinterested. It's like at the end of the day, that last hour or so before you get off, you start goofing off and doing things. You know what I'm saying? Hello? Hello?
Yo.
Hello?
Sorry about that, Mac.
Oh, what happened?
My phone.
Oh, okay. I thought I did something. No, I'm good.
Sorry.
But anyway, as I was saying, sorry audience, if you're out there listening, I apologize. Yes, technical difficulties. What was I gonna say? Oh, I was just saying I think Houston is gonna show up because this is a do or die. I've heard a lot of people on TV say that they thought that Houston, they weren't sure about winning tomorrow because of the way they finished the season. But like I said, I feel like you know how it is at the end of the day, that last hour, that last 20 minutes, you goof off.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the season, I just think, guys let their guard down unless the game means something. It's a shame it's like that, but at the same time, it's understandable. So I think Houston will handle them tomorrow. Do I think it'll be a blowout? I don't know. But that's the whole thing. I'm intrigued by that. So I don't know what your thoughts are on the game tomorrow. But.
I'm worried, man. I didn't like the way the last month they've been playing. They lost three of the last four games. I don't know if they were just looking ahead to the playoffs and pretty much coasting. But with two games to go and one game that needed to wrap up home field advantage throughout, and the number one seed, and they couldn't do it. I'm worried. It's a good thing that they're playing the Bengals. They played them last year, so I think they And they're playing this time with their starting quarterback. Last year they played him with their backup, a rookie
mm-hmm.
backup at that. And
mm-hmm.
but they still beat him. I think I'm cautiously optimistic about them taking care of business against the Bengals.
Right. You guys are in a tough, and plus, you know, Houston is going to be a tough. I do predict it's going to be a tough. It's going to be, I mean, if you put it like this, if Houston gets to the, I say this, if Houston gets to the Super Bowl, I think that would be major because your division is so tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy, to me, I think it's easier to get through the NFC than it is the AFC. And I say that because you got the Pats, you got the Broncos. I mean, that's major. I mean, that's like major, man. You have to, I mean, you're going to have to do some pretty rough stuff to get that done. So, you know, me, myself, you know, I respect you guys if you get there. You know, definitely. So, and then the 8 o'clock game tomorrow, Minnesota-Green Bay. After having a great game, what was that, Saturday? No,
mm-hmm.
was that Sunday?
Sunday.
I mean, that game was bananas. I mean, that game was just, it was back and forth, bing, 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 bam. And, you know, this one is, I think, at Green Bay, am I mistaken?
Yes, it is.
It is. So, yeah.
Yep.
That's right on cue. That's snow right on cue. Snow and cold weather right on cue. I have not known a playoff yet at Lambeau Field that's been like, okay, it's 40 and balmy. It's always terrible. And it seems like it always comes at the right time, right at the time when somebody's coming to play them. So I predict Green Bay will beat Minnesota. But then again, I'm cautiously optimistic about that because they can't seem to stop Adrian Peterson. I mean,
yeah,
I have yet to see anybody stop him this whole season. I'm just like, dude, like, and I mean, everybody he's played haven't been slouches either. So, you know, it's just weird. It's weird to me in that in this year that two records came within so just short of being broken. That just really amazes me. So I just want to say that that's crazy. So what do you think about that game?
What I think about that game?
Minnesota
Green Bay. Excuse me. Adrian Peterson ran for almost 400 yards. In fact, he ran for over 400 yards against Green Bay twice. The second
mm-hmm.
time they were scheming to try to stop him, and he still ran for 1 yard short of 200 yards.
Right.
And 8 yards or 5 yards, whatever it was, short of the record.
Mm-hmm.
But they're playing in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I got to believe that it's very hard to beat a division opponent, especially twice at home, and
yeah.
this time it's in the playoffs, three times, or twice in a row in that case. So, I mean, Green Bay beat him the first time. Quite naturally, Minnesota beat him the second time. This time, the third time, the rubber match, I think it's going to go all Green Bay, and I don't think it's going to be close.
You don't?
No.
Even though you may have your doubts about them stopping Adrian Peterson?
Ain't going to be close.
Okay.
Won't be close.
Okay.
Won't be close.
Okay, so you think they'll just kick the door closed?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that, especially they're getting their Randall Cobb is back, Greg Jennings is back,
mm-hmm.
Jordy Nelson is back. So their wide receiving core is healthy now. Not to say that limited them last.
No, I understand.
But
right,
they got their guns. They got the guns ready to roll this time, I think that at home. They're going to take care of business,
right? Especially with just getting your, you know, just playing that game you played Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know if we let them hang around, this could turn into that same type of game where you could end up losing it at the end.
Right, right.
So, what do you think about now the Sunday game at 1 o'clock is Indianapolis versus Baltimore. What do you think about that game?
Baltimore win, in my opinion. Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is a candidate for the rookie of the year.
I don't think he's a candidate. I think that's already done. I think that was wrapped up with a bow and already delivered to D.C.
Okay. You may be very well maybe right, but
because they are in love with him. They like. Remember this. They like, and this is no chaser. They like Andrew Luck. They love, in love, crazy in love with RG3, the whole league. If anybody watches TV on Sunday and you watch the announcers, whether they be in D.C. announcing the local game, the sports writers, the sports casters, ESPN, everything is RG3, RG3, RG3. Let me tell you, the past quarterback retires, he's going to be the guy that everybody mentions like they do Tom Brady.
You really think so?
I really think so.
Yeah.
Now I will say this. I will say this prediction. Do I believe that RG3 will do what he did this year again? No. Because the one thing that is for certain is death, taxes, and in your second year, you're not a surprise anymore. And everybody's had time to scheme on you to figure out how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to every athletic, gifted quarterback that's come in since Michael Vick. I mean, they've all had that second year, that third year where they've been like, okay, you know, because let's be honest, when Michael Vick came in, they did the same thing that Michael Vick did during the RG3. Everything was Michael Vick, Michael Vick, Michael Vick, Michael Vick, Michael Vick. Now, he helped himself fall down when he did the dog thing and didn't tell the truth and just come forward.
Right.
And he went to jail. But, which I still think to this day was wrong because I don't know anybody else is going to jail for dogs. But anyway, be that as it may, the fact of the matter is I think that next year he will have a challenge on his hands because I think defenses are going to be ready and it's not going to be, oh, you caught me off guard. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. So I just think they're going to make adjustments. But anyway, I digress. You were saying Indianapolis, Baltimore, and you were saying something about Andrew Luck. I'm sorry.
Andrew Luck has been a hell of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been vulnerable. His weakness, for the most part, when he plays, has been on when he plays on the road. And I think it's going to come to light again at Baltimore. This is probably not going to be an easy game for Baltimore, but I do believe that a Luck turnover late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to seal the victory for Baltimore.
And I think also, I agree with you 100%. I also think that because of Ray Lewis retiring, everybody's going to have more of a urgency to win and do everything they can to win. I mean, not that they come out and they're just any different, but I'm just saying when your defensive leader and your franchise player says, this is my last ride, that kind of pulls up the urgency for a team. And they have. And the other thing that I would say to your point is they have a defense that is opportunistic. And that's the one thing that doesn't too much fall with Baltimore. And I just think with Ed Reed and those guys back there, I just think they're going to be all over these guys. So, yes, I do think Baltimore wins this one. And then the 4:30 game on Sunday, Seattle versus Washington.
I know you just can't wait for this game. I know your mouse and your keyboard
is primed on
Facebook and can't wait.
Oh yeah.
To see what happens with this game.
Oh yeah, because Redskins fans have written checks that their asses can't cash, and they've been doing it all week. And that it was funny that and I don't know if you come to look at my page often, but you know Lonnie Harrell was having a debate with. You know, Redskins fans, and he said pretty much summed up what I said. He said, the Redskins, I don't root for them. They're not my team, but I like to see, you know, RG3. He like to see, in others, what he's saying is I like to see black players, especially at quarterback, succeed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but Redskins fans make me hate the Redskins, and that's what it is with me. It's not that I don't want to see RG3 successful. But my problem is that the Redskins fans are just like I told you, man, before, nobody believes, you know, people who are not Redskins fans, who are objective, will tell you they go too far with it. It's always the S word, you know, and I'm just like, come on, man. Like, stop the S word, man. Like when the Lions won 10-6 last year, you know how stupid I would have sounded saying we were going to the Super Bowl? I mean, just think about that. You know how stupid I would have sounded saying we're going to the Super Bowl?
I'm being
real. Like, Slim, I can't use that word. That's a word I can't throw around with my team because we ain't good enough. You got to be real. Redskins fans ain't like that. Redskins fans win a game, we're going to the Super Bowl. Come on, dude. Stop. You got a quarterback that's fast. He's tricky. He can throw the ball. The offense you got is gimmicky. It's cool. It works. I like that. Your running back is good. Yeah, cool, good. But if you think for one moment that you're going to make it through Green Bay and you're going to make it through San Francisco with what you got right now, heck no, you ain't.
Anything can happen, man. I keep on saying that.
No, man. No, here's my thing. When I saw the Pittsburgh Steelers, in essence, shut the Redskins, that gimmicky play down, I knew, okay, all right, so it can be done. And they defensed it perfectly. But they had the athletes for it. So what I'm saying to you is, and the Pittsburgh ain't even, and to be honest with you, Pittsburgh ain't even got the defense they had a couple years ago. I mean, and you got a guy who's 70-something years old who's a defensive coordinator, he figured it out. So my thing is, I think this game, you know, my thing is just, the Redskins fans just go too far with it. Let's just say it that way. They just go too far. They're arrogant. They're obnoxious. And they don't know how to just be humble, like, okay, we won. Let's see what happens this week. It's never one game at a time. It's like, we're going all the way. It's like, stop. You're drunk. But they're delusional, and that's fine, because if they lose Sunday, I am going to hammer them, and I am going to hammer them all year long. And, of course, what they'll say is, we made a playoff. So I don't really care. I want Seattle to bust
Seattle is favored.
Oh, Seattle going to win. Because the one thing I think they're a better defensive team than Washington has played all year. And them young boys gonna run. They run to the ball and they tackle. And their defense is good. Their corners are good. You know, and I just don't. I think RG3 will have a great game. I'm not saying it's gonna be a blowout, but I just think in the end Seattle's gonna jump on them. I'm gonna put it like this: if Seattle gets ahead of the Redskins, they ain't winning that game. They get up by a touchdown or two, it's over.
You think so?
Yes. Because Pete Carroll got them boys playing. And to be honest with you, they don't usually have bad games. And who did they beat? Didn't they beat San Francisco?
They beat San Francisco. They beat the Packers. They beat the Patriots.
Right. So anybody telling me that the Redskins are better than those three teams? You're drunk. It ain't gonna happen. They're gonna play them the same. You don't change at this day in the game. You ain't gonna change what you already done. You might tweak it a little bit, but you ain't gonna change what you done. And why would I change from something when I just beat three of the baddest, biggest, baddest teams in the league by far, and I beat all three who are better than the Redskins? Come on, man. I mean, only the drunk people, you know, would think that, you know, they're going to win this. But, you know, Redskins fans can dream. You know, I know you're saying anything is possible, but let me tell you, if Washington gets past Seattle, they're done. That's it. There ain't no more run in them.
Mac, just listen to yourself.
Yeah, I did.
You're saying that.
It'll be luck. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, God. See, and I'm not a Redskins fan, but if they get past Seattle, which you think they're not going to get past, but
they
if they get, past, be, they get past Seattle, you're going to say it's luck. They
yeah,
get past.
Yeah, you know how refs are, and replay and stuff that should be ain't. And I'm saying, you know, if dogs,
okay.
The sun shines on a dog's ass some days, I'm saying, so, you know.
All year, Mac, and I'm being objective here, all year.
I know.
You have been not been giving this team any kind of credit.
Nope.
Not at all. I mean,
nope.
I understand you have some animosity against Redskins fans because they talk too much.
Yep.
But you got to give this team a little bit of credit because the fact is they have achieved pretty well up until this point.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who have they beaten, and compare that to who Seattle's beat? Who have they played? Now, I just want to know who Washington played that you go, ooh, they beat them? The Giants, as good as they are, they're sometiming. Dallas is sorry. They win in spite of themselves, if they do. Philadelphia is a mess. Okay, so anybody thinking that they were going to lose to them, I never thought that. Even though I wanted them to, I knew they were going to. They played Cleveland. I knew they were going to beat them, and that's my wife's team. But I knew they were going to beat the Braves, so I knew they was going to beat them. I knew that wasn't going to be much. I said, if they get ahead of them, it's over. Okay, that's four of them. Now, you name me the rest of the people in there that you think that they beat, that they didn't. To be honest with you, when they were down and they were losing all them games, and then all of a sudden they went on this streak, every team they had on there, if I'm not mistaken, was it 500? Maybe?
Well, when they started the streak, it was Philadelphia. So they played Philadelphia.
I knew they were going to win that one.
Then they played
Dallas.
Ain't
no good. Right.
Then
okay.
they played New York.
Okay.
Then they played Baltimore.
Okay, they barely got that one, but yeah, okay. They were injured, whatever, fine. I'll give them that one.
Then they beat Cleveland, Philly.
Whoa. Right.
Philly and Dallas.
Right. So tell me, out of those teams, which one was impressive?
Baltimore.
Thank you. Right, that's it. So it was set up for them. So why wouldn't they make a run? I wasn't stupid to sit and think that they were going to lose to them because I knew every one of those teams you named, with the exception of Baltimore, was sometime. They weren't no power. They weren't a Frisco or a Patriots or anything like that. I give Houston more credit than that. Y'all went through and played some tough games. You know, and y'all lost to the Patriots, but I knew that would probably happen, but at least you played them tough. If that had been the Redskins, they'd have blew the Redskins out of the water. Come on, man, the Redskins ain't that good. They're really not. They just played, they played all division opponents, basically, except for Baltimore. So you tell me why I shouldn't feel the way I feel. They got lucky they got here. They got the schedule lined up right for them. That's what I'm trying to say. The schedule lined up right for them. That's all I'm saying. You know as well as I do, New York wasn't – you already know New York wasn't like that. New York sometimes. You don't know what you're going to get with them. Dallas, you don't know what you're going to get with them. They're the most inconsistent. We already knew Philly wasn't going – Philly can't be the paper bag.
Well, let's look at the last 10 games that the Seattle Seahawks played.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from week 10, they played the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them.
Right.
They went on a bye, and they came back, and they played the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
And they lost that game.
Right.
This is the last seven games.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, they played Chicago Bears in Chicago, beat mm-hmm. them in overtime.
Right.
Then they went to Arizona, which is – they beat them 58-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went to Buffalo. They beat
mm-hmm.
Buffalo and,
mm-hmm.
and beat them 50-17.
Right.
The signature game was – Week 16, when they played San Francisco and beat them 42-13.
Right.
And then they came back at the last week and played another division opponent and beat them 20-13.
Right. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if I look at Seattle's run to the playoffs and I look at the Redskins' run to the playoffs, Seattle earned it. You just told me all the teams they beat, and they weren't beating punching bags. That's what I'm trying to say. They weren't beating just the same dudes they beat up in the same. They was beating dudes. They were beating good teams. They were good teams. Like, when they beat them, it was like, wow. Then you talk about. So what I'm saying to you is, when you look at the Redskins, what I'm saying is the schedule lined up for them. You give. I tell you what. You give the schedule. Which, of course, you give the schedule Seattle had to the Redskins and see if the Redskins would be in the playoffs. I bet you they wouldn't. I bet you they wouldn't. That's my point. What I'm saying is the games that Seattle won, they beat their record. It's like in boxing. When you look over a guy's record of who he's beat, the great ones are the ones who had tough people, who had champions. You look for champions. You look for people like, okay, that's a good team. That's a good guy. That guy had a belt. That guy dominated that division. You look at that. That provides your legacy. It's not the number, it's the amount. So what I'm saying is the quality opponent that the Redskins played and the quality opponent that Seattle played has prepared. They earned it. Redskins, to me, just got, you got lucky. Like,
okay.
Come on, man. Nobody knew that Dallas was going to be. I mean, nobody knew for sure. The only person we knew for sure that was going to beat the Redskins, the people that did beat them. We thought for sure that that Baltimore was going to do it. But let's be honest. I like Baltimore. I respect them. But Flacco is flaky. You never know what you're going to get with Flacco. And Flacco did exactly what he always does. He gets a big game, and with a must-win game or a game they should win, and he ends up throwing an interception and being flaky. So we already, that's what I'm saying. I know what these teams are. Now, if they had, now, I would be first one to sit here and tell you, if Redskins had beat some people where, and you just named all those games on that run,
yeah,
and most of them were the same kids in their neighborhood that they know already. And they really, and the kids that they were really ain't that good. Redskins are better than Dallas, and they have a better quarterback than Dallas. For sure they got a better team than Dallas, because Dallas is sometimes. And then same thing with the Giants. They wishy-washy. You never know what you're going to get with them. You're either going to get the world champions or you're going to get the flaky dudes.
Right.
So, you know, I don't. What I'm saying is I'm not just going to sit here and say I don't, you know, our Redskins are going to lose because I don't like them. They're going to lose because they're not as good as the team. Seattle is prepared for this. That's what I'm saying. Seattle is prepared for this. Washington's not prepared, to me, didn't prepare for this coming down the stretch. It's like you beating up on your little brother, the same dudes in your neighborhood that you always beat up. You know, so to me, it just didn't matter. But the other subject I want to talk about with you is the game Monday night. And I want your prediction on Notre Dame, Alabama.
I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't. I like Alabama big time in this game.
Thank you. That's the same. We are in agreement. I said the same thing. But, you know, I guess somebody must have gave a memo to all the sportscasters, because all of them keep trying to put up these reasons why Notre Dame will fight them and have a chance. I don't know if it's the sympathy vote or what it is, but it's like every time I turn on ESPN, they're like, oh, no, I don't think they're going to get blown out. I don't think they're going to get rolled over. I think they're going to really fight. They're going to do that. I'm sitting here going like, Slim, if I got an NFL offensive line and you got little boys out there on Notre Dame side, and when you look at who Notre Dame beat, other than Michigan, name me somebody that they beat that I should go, ooh.
Hey, I totally agree with you.
I can't remember nobody, because to be honest, and I'm going to be honest with you, and you know I'm a Michigan fan. I knew Michigan had a chance to beat Notre Dame. I don't like Brady Hoke, and I don't like his offense, and I don't like the way he handles them. I still have not got a coach yet since Bo Schembechler that I've seen that I've gone, that's Michigan's coach. Now, that's a guy. I've never seen that. I've never done that. And I'm gonna tell you why, because I think we're sometimes, you know, just as much as we're explosive, I don't think we're as good as we are. You know what I'm saying? Just like I go out on a limb right now and tell you right now. Michigan basketball. Great team, love us. We number two. We haven't been tested yet. Not really. We haven't. You know when we're going to get tested?
When?
Tomorrow with Ohio State. That's our test. But we have not been tested. The teams we've been beating, we've been blowing open. We've been beating them. So what I'm saying to you is that we haven't been tested yet. So until I see us beat somebody, that's what I'm like, okay. Or some Big Ten teams, like we beat Indiana, yeah, okay. We beat Ohio State, okay, yeah, all right. Now we for real. But if we lose to Ohio State, I wouldn't be surprised, because we haven't been tested yet. So all I'm saying to you is that I'm saying, do I believe, you know, so now everybody's trying to, you know, feel sorry for Notre Dame. Oh, Notre Dame has this chance. And they try to explain to you all this stuff, and Manti Te'o, I'm like, look, Manti Te'o's a great, great guy, but Manti Te'o has not faced this kind of, he hasn't faced this before.
Big
they
boys with speed. Big boys with speed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got an NFL line in front of you, and you get like, and I one thing I will agree with them with the sportscasters, You give Nick Saban 4 weeks to prepare, Slim.
Yep.
You and Ms. Slim, you.
Yep.
Man, this dude is obsessed with watching film and figuring it out. I'm telling you. Man, Ty Tao and them don't know what they. I'm telling you, they haven't faced nothing like this. Now, I mean, like I said, like Stephen A. Smith said, roll tide. Roll freaking tide. And when it's over, I'm going to be like, I told you that. Because you know who it should have been? Even though I don't like them, and you already know I don't like them, it should have been Alabama and maybe Ohio State. But I think they got blasted, too.
I don't know, man. Ohio State was a hell of a team, even though the, you know, they got the, got all those sanctions or penalties. So, I would probably like to see that more than Notre Dame, but the media and a lot of people across the country are in love with Notre Dame. So,
oh, I know they are. They want to see. They want to see because Notre Dame is the feel good story.
Yeah.
The little engine that could beat the big bad boys on over a big to beat bad beat the big bad SEC power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. But I want the big bad SEC power to kick Notre Dame's butt. I feel about Notre Dame like I feel about Ohio State, just to let you know. I've always hated Notre Dame.
I've grown up
and all I've heard about is Notre Dame. They get all these contracts, and even when they were sorry, they get these million-dollar contracts. Everybody loves them. I don't know if it was Newt Rockne or what the hell it was, but it's something with this team. It's something with Notre Dame and America that just, I don't know what the love affair is. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I guess it was Lou Holtz. I mean, I have no idea what it was, but people have always thought that Notre Dame was just this, you know.
Yep.
They get all these accolades for, they get all these accolades for doing nothing. I mean, I haven't seen them do anything in years.
I totally agree.
So, you know, what do you think about the last thing I want to touch on, or one of the things I want to touch on is what do you think about Ray Lewis retiring? I just want to know if you had some words.
Ray Lewis retiring it wasn't a shock to me because he had said something like that or insinuated it earlier. Basically, in the beginning of the season, that if he doesn't have the passion, he doesn't feel it, he's going to walk. So, it's a big hit for Baltimore. Where are they going to get that inspiration and that leadership like they have with Ray Lewis? Even though he's not the same talent he was when he first got into the league, he still can inspire his teammates and still can and compete at a high level. To take that away from that team, even if he's not playing, he's still inspiring his teammates. He helped Ray Rice grow up as a pro football player. And he was a mentor and a sounding board to a lot of guys in the NFL. Not to say that he's not going to be that when he retires, but it's different when you're retired than when you're actually in and playing in the game. So
no, you're right.
Living legend, man. In my opinion, dude's done a lot in off the field and on the field. So he's got one black mark, but I think he's made up for that 10 times over. So
yeah. And that was at the beginning of his career, and I think I honestly don't even think that was a black mark against him. I think that was more the media trying to pin it on him because he was the big name. Because I think what it was is he brought somebody with him who got into some trouble and took the hit for it. But I don't think that's a black mark against him. I think the media tried to pin it on him because he was a big name, and I think when they found out that it wasn't really him, then they kind of backed off of it. But yeah, you're right. For me, Ray Lewis is actually one of the best, I have to admit, one of the best linebackers, middle linebackers, I think, in football history that I've ever seen. I consider him to be like a Deion Sanders who, at that position, I don't think you can find anybody better in my time, I'm saying, because I don't want to disrespect a guy like a Mike Singletary, who I did watch coming up and was just as fierce when he had fire, just as fierce as Ray Lewis was. But Ray Lewis I think, took it to another level in the fact that he maintained that same level for 17 years. As far as the fire and the passion, he didn't take plays off. You know, he didn't make excuses. And, yeah, you're right. He was an influence to everybody, you know. I'm a miss Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is almost like Barry Sanders. It's somebody that I'm going to really miss seeing on Sundays, just seeing where he is. And to me, the thing that I liked about him more than anything was just hearing him, just when they had him mic'd up during the games. And then, of course, you know, the inspiration, you know, the whole root thing and stuff. I mean, that just, like I said, if you can't get excited, if Ray Lewis can't come in your huddle or come into your place and tell you something, you don't get excited and ready to tear a wall off, you got to be dead. You don't have
mm-hmm.
to hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think and to be honest with you, I predict that Ray Lewis will do more out of the game than he did in the game. I think he's going to do more good because now he's going to be an ambassador for the NFL, a person that can go into high schools and colleges. I think he's going to be very well wanted to come do a speaking engagements and stuff. I think very much so. I know there was a report out, I think a day or two ago, that he already has a multi-year deal with ESPN already.
Mm-hmm.
With ESPN. And I think that's a good move. But I also think from a football side, I think any team in the NFL, I've been saying this probably about since 5 years ago, I've said, if I were coming in, I'd make Ray Lewis a defensive coordinator. I just would.
You think he would be able to deal with the knuckleheads that are coming into the NFL nowadays?
Yeah, because think about it. When Phil Jackson walks into an NFL team with a bunch of young knuckleheads, you think they're gonna listen to him? Yeah,
they better.
You got 11 rings. They know.
Yeah.
They know the pedigree.
Right.
Same thing with football. If Ray Lewis walks in, what you gonna say? He don't know
mm-hmm.
what he's talking about. He's
right.
a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been an MVP, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean,
two-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, 17 years you did in the game. Who's not going? But I'm saying, who's not going to listen to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so my thing is, he'd be a great defensive coordinator. I mean, if nothing else, Slim, you think he? I mean, can you imagine this guy being in charge of your defense and firing guys every Sunday up throughout the week, talking to him the way he always talks, with that fire and that conviction,
mm-hmm.
and pull a guy aside and talk to him and say, hey, man, you need to do this and this. I mean, that's the guy you want on your team. He's the kind of guy that guys will kill themselves. They'll do anything he tells them to do for him. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I know exactly what you're saying.
So I'm just saying, even though ESPN has him tied up, I'm saying if I were a GM, I would try to hire the guy and give him, you know, a lot of money to come over and be a defensive coordinator. I'm telling you right now, except for Dick LeBeau, he is the only guy that I could see that I would pay good money to be a defense coordinator that would really earn his money.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Because think about how he's went about it. If you can do it for 17 years, you can go. If you can do this for 17 years and keep the same level and the same head and the same dedication and the same 110% attitude towards the game, why wouldn't you take, and that's his job, why wouldn't he give that same dedication to the job that he's taking? You know, he cared about the organization that he worked for. He cared about the fans. He cared about people. So why wouldn't he bring that, you know, what you do normal is who you really are. You know, when the pressure comes, you're going to do what you've always done.
Right.
You're going to switch up. You're going to be the same guy. So to me, I just think, you know, I know he's going to be at ESPN, and that's great, because I think it's a great move on the TV side, because Ray Lewis will probably get interviews with guys that ordinarily they can't get or won't
mm-hmm.
want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he'll get interviews with guys that most people will say, nah, I ain't doing that, nah, I ain't doing that. Oh, Ray? Oh, yeah, I talked to him. You know, even when the young guys come in, it's like, man, like Ray Lewis going to interview me? You know, all right, cool. You know, so he'll get a lot of that stuff, but I just think from a football side, if I was a GM, that would be my guy I would keep trying to get to be my defensive coordinator.
Okay.
I mean, he's a living legend, like you said, a guy I'm going to really miss. You know, I miss him. I'm going to miss him like I miss Deion Sanders and like I miss Barry Sanders. It's just there's a certain people that I would pay to see play. And he's one of those guys that I would pay to see play, you know, just for the mouth, man, just for the fire, man, just to see a guy go at his job 110% and really care about it.
Right.
It's just great and inspire other people. It's something you don't see every day. Now, you don't even see that in the workplace. So
I know that. You're
inspiring.
Right.
It's just inspiring. So my last thing is, as we go through this this next year, I'm really excited about it. Jerry, I want you to get your questions together, and I know you're going to ask great questions and stuff, and that's what I'm most excited. I'm most excited about, I didn't say this, but I'm most excited about you meeting these people because you always ask good questions, and you always bring a good perspective to it. So I know you're going to ask things that I may not think of or I may not do, and that's what I'm most excited, because when you hit me on Facebook, it was like, hey, man, I'm intrigued already. I'm like, I was like, well, that's good. That means I'm picking good guests. And you're like, okay, I didn't know that, you know.
Well, I'm really intrigued that first guest you got coming up, the guy with the new clothing line, you really peaked, like I said before, when I said on Facebook, you really tweaked my interest. I want to see his link. I want to see what kind of things he got with the clothing line. I want to see how he got. I really want to ask him how he got started and where he gets his inspiration for his designs. I got things I want to ask this guy and talk to him. So
yeah, and that's what I like, and that's why I brought him. One, for exposure, and then the other thing I wanted to do is one of the things I'm going to do this year too is I'm going to start getting the links to the show and start posting them on my Facebook page and on the show's Facebook page, so that and give it to our guests, because one of the things I think our guests likes is that they can post it on their social network and say, hey, you can listen back to the show. I was on the No Chaser show, and it'll help us with getting viewers and listeners also. But that's one of the things I want to do. But, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm bringing these people on. I'm trying to bring people on that are interesting, that are doing interesting things. And what you just said is what I really – is the real reason behind it, is that not only have them on to interview them and find out who they are and things like that, but to be able to pick a person's brain and say, how did you start? And then we can have our people who listen to us, you know, figure, oh, this is how we started. Oh, this is how you did this. Or, oh, you can do this. You know, that's what I really want to do, because it's nice to have a clothing guy on and talk about his line all day. But that ain't, you know, when I watch TV, when I see business people on, I want to know, how did you get it? What did you do that was different than everybody else?
Right,
you know, what was your struggle? That's why I love me and my wife sit down on Saturday. Sometimes we'll sit and just watch shows on Fox Business. Fox Business on MSNBC, the business one, and we'll watch all kind of shows, and we love these kind of shows. Like, you know, tonight, me and my wife will watch. I don't know if you ever seen the show. Have you ever seen the show Shark Tank?
Yes, yes.
I love that show. Just seeing people come up with these ideas and seeing how they come up with them, and aside from the negotiation, that's a good thing too, because I like to know about negotiation, how you do it, but I just love just seeing the idea. That's probably one of my favorite shows. I just love seeing the ideas come up, and you know how they come up with these ideas. And some of the stuff on it is just awesome. I'll just be like, man, you thought of that? It's like, man, you know. So, that's what I want to do with my guests, is get different perspectives, different walks of life, different people doing different things. I don't know if you know like Sylvia Crawley. A lot of people don't know her. Some people do.
We got about a minute.
Okay. And, you know, like I said, I don't know who they are, but what I will do, I think what I'm going to do is during the week, this weekend or next week, what I'm going to do, Jerry, is I'm going to start sending you the link and things like that, and just research things so you'll know a little bit. So that way when you come in, I can do that for you. So that way you can, you know what's going on.
Sure. I had no problem with that. No problem.
Okay. Well, with that, we are out of here. Jerry, my man, Happy New Year. I look forward to this year. It's going to be a great year for us. And look, while we're here, while I'm saying this, hey, look, man, you ever want somebody, a guest on your show, all you got to do is ask, brother. If I can arrange it for you and get them on the show, I would love to, you know, I'd love to help you out. So just always let me know. If you find somebody you really like and you'd love to have on your show, let me know. I have no problem referring them to you.
No problem.
All right?
All right, my man.
All right, brother. We are out of here. We will see y'all next week with our first guest. Straight to the League will be coming. And we encourage all of you to tune back in on next Friday at 7 p.m. And with that, we're out, Jerry.
See ya.